Thanks for the reading, and it's an interesting little reading. And last week we were in Proverbs of all places as we're leading into Christmas, and just this finding, I guess, little snippets of Jesus in the Old Testament. And we have another strange one in a sense, because Micah is probably best known for Micah 6:8. And if you're not sure what that is, then you can look it up. But the rest of Micah is a little bit more obscure. And here, once again, we have a reading that really, we just find Jesus. And it's interesting as you look at the New Testament and the way Jesus was accepted by some, and you can see why, but then he was also rejected by some, and you've really got to ask the question, especially because he was rejected by those who were the religious experts, the ones who should have been familiar with Micah chapter 5 and Proverbs 30, etc., etc. But we're continuing with the theme that God is with us, and we start the passage this morning with this idea that the people of God are going to be under siege. And so I don't know if you picked up on that. It goes on to say, for a siege is laid against us, and they will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. And my first thought as I read that was, well, that's certainly what happens. Israel gets laid low. We actually stopped the reading very purposely at the beginning of verse 5, because if I went past that, then it actually undermined the message for this morning. Little bits of this undermine it as well, because we don't see peace here, and the title of the message this morning is Peace for All the Nations. And there isn't peace here. We're actually told that there's going to be a siege laid against Israel. And then look, it says they will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. It doesn't look good for Israel. Israel will cop it. But notice I've got a question mark. It's actually Israel will cop it. Really? Will they? Because they do, but they don't. Who is Israel's leader who is going to be struck? When I googled Google images for Jesus and what happened to Jesus, this is one of the images that comes up. Now, you'll notice that he's not being struck in the face or the cheek by a rod, except I did wonder if maybe the fist belonged to a Roman soldier by the name of Rod. I don't know, Rod, if it could be. But the reality is that Israel cops it, but just to a degree, because somebody else steps in and cops it for Israel. Don't they? And if you're thinking, David, you might just be making a little bit too much of this, then as we go on, you've got the question just, doesn't it become a little bit more pressing? That this is actually not what Israel is going to have to put up with, but rather it's the one that God is going to send. You see, there's a ruler in the future who is going to cop it. And that's alluded to in this passage where we have the words, but you, Bethlehem, and Bethlehem means, does anybody know what it means? It means house of bread. It means the place, the house where the one who will come from, who will say, I am the bread of life, will come from. It's the house of bread. And that word that is after Bethlehem, which is a word we don't often see in reference to Bethlehem, can be sort of have a couple of different meanings, I guess, but one of them is certainly to be opened wide. And so we get this picture back in Israel. Israel's in trouble, and the words from Micah are, but Bethlehem, little Bethlehem, this little house of bread will be opened wide. The bread of life is going to come forth from little Bethlehem. Though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And that's interesting, because do you know who else was born in Bethlehem? Sorry?
David.
Not me, but King David. King David was born in Bethlehem as well. So once again, we have this dual meaning. Some people would have been reading this going, yes, David, the king, he came from Bethlehem, that's right. But there's a little bit of a problem with that, because whose origins are from of old, from ancient times? David doesn't actually fit that. He is the youth with ruddy complexion, is he not? He's the really young guy who's looking after the sheep. But there is a picture of one who would come, who would be born of a baby, but even born of a baby would be the Ancient of Days. The one from before time would actually be born out of Bethlehem. So it's an interesting picture, isn't it? I love this idea of the house of bread, where the bread of life would come from. And so from this little place, Bethlehem, big things are going to happen. Big things, because God has just chosen Bethlehem, and God is like that. He had to have his Saviour born somewhere. And so does he choose Jerusalem? No. He chooses Bethlehem. But he also chooses Israel. But why? Is Israel important? God actually makes it really clear it's not because you're important. It's purely because I chose you. And the great thing about the God that we follow as we think about peace for the nations is that he never stops at Bethlehem. It's sort of like his way of saying, I love everybody, I love all of you, but I just want the very least of you to know that I love you, and so I choose Bethlehem. I love all of you, but I want you to know that I love the very least of you, so I'll choose Israel, I'll choose Abraham. I love all of you, but I want you to know that I love the very least of you, whoever you are. He's the God of the nations, but he's the God of the least. And he sort of, that message comes through. But I have another question as we continue in the passage. We started with, you know, the question, Israel will cop it? Question mark. Do they really cop it, or does their Saviour cop it in the end? The next question is, are they abandoned? Because although for a moment there the reading was, therefore Israel will be adorned, it was abandoned, and until the time though, because it's not an abandoning forever, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour gives birth and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. There's going to be an abandonment of God's people for a time, but there is something that is coming which is the opposite to that abandonment. There's going to be a birth. And look at what this birth, the person that is going to be born, who is it that they will be. It says, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And once again, we actually get allusions to David again. David born in Bethlehem. David who's a shepherd. David who was somebody after God's own heart, and therefore is often seen as somebody whom the Spirit of God in particular rested upon. In fact, in one of his psalms, doesn't David say, don't take your spirit from me? He did things in the strength of the Lord. What it was that he did against Goliath was in the strength of the Lord. But this isn't about David, is it? This is about one who David would call Lord. And so we get this picture that there is one coming. Israel will not be abandoned because there is a new ruler coming. He will shepherd his flock and the strength of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, the majesty, the name of the Lord, his God. A shepherd with God's strength. And we have that picture of Jesus when he comes and begins his earthly ministry, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And this thing that's going to happen in Israel, that Israel are going to go through some hard times, they're going to cop it, they're going to be abandoned, and yet they will also have a ruler who will come and who will save them, who will be struck for them. That it doesn't stop at Israel, though. There is actually, in this passage, the idea of a peace that will go to the nations. And we see that in Jesus, don't we? That what Jesus came to do was not just for the Jewish people. As we look at the New Testament, through Acts in particular, we see that what Christ came to do was for all of us. And so it says, as we continue, that they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Notice that this rule, this kingdom, it's not just going to be Israel. But there's this interesting thing in this as we think about peace for a moment, because I want to draw us, I guess, from this passage in Micah to the idea of peace. And for you, whether you have peace this Christmas, whether you have peace now, I guess, and what that looks like. And I love that it says, and they will live securely. They will live securely. That's an interesting thing, because it's very hard to have a sense of peace when there is no security. It's hard to have peace where there is fear, where there are stresses and anxiety and concerns and worries and threats, that is a place that is hard to have peace in. Security often brings peace. And it's interesting, it says they will live securely. They will have a kingdom under a ruler who is going to be a good ruler, who is going to shepherd them. And that rule will be around the whole earth, to the ends of the earth. And that security that comes from that will bring peace. And so the little part of the passage that we've had read says, and he will be their peace. Continue reading verse 5, and yes, we go back to a little bit more of what's got to happen before then. But that's happened now. We're now on the other side of those things, and yet, of course, we're still waiting as well. I mean, if I asked each of you how much peace you have right now, what would your answer be? I think it would be varied, but I think some of us would be a long way from peace, wouldn't we? There's a lot going on in our world today. There is a lot of things that undermine our security. There's a lot of things that cause us concern. And just this week, whether it's for us as a local church, with things that have been happening, with illness and sickness, or whether it's as we look around our nation and see what has happened over the last week, peace and security are things that may be hard for us to find. And so I want to encourage us this morning as we think about this shepherd king who brings us security and peace. Last week, as we were thinking about the idea of God being with us and being enough, I gave you some verses from the New Testament. And when it comes to peace, this is one of the ones that I guess is a good go-to one. Galatians 5:22-23. This is the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Love is the very first one, first cab off the rank. Joy is not far behind, and then the third one is peace. That's part of being connected to God, is that we have peace, because as the more we're connected with God, the more we understand his strength and the reason we have to feel secure. And even though there may be some other things around us, it can all be seen from the perspective of the one who dwells within us more, the one who brings love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To go to the Old Testament for a moment, I really love this one. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So the fruits of the Spirit, one of them is peace. That obviously comes from God. That's what the fruits of the Spirit is. It's from his Spirit in us. Isaiah 26 makes it really clear. You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. This peace isn't something we can manufacture. This peace is something that comes from God. And so we need to come to him and somehow hand things over to him and grow to have a deep trust that he has everything in hand. And I've got to say that last week looking at Proverbs 30 and this week looking at Micah 5 and seeing that hundreds of years before Jesus came, God the Father had it all worked out, helps me put trust and faith in him. If he had all that worked out with Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus came, if he could predict hundreds of years before that Jesus would come from Bethlehem, then surely he knows what's going to be coming up in my week this week. And he's promised to be with me through whatever comes up this week. Put all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that's where that security comes in, I think, that brings that peace. This idea that God is for you and not against you. He cares for you. Trust and be secure in him. He loves you. Remember what we looked at last week. I just want to add one little bit. God is enough and he is here. But also just this reality. God is enough, he is here, and he brings peace. And so I want to encourage you this week as we lead into Christmas. What is it that you might do to maximize your peace this Christmas? How will it be that you will connect with God and find yourself a place secure in His love. And you may already have a place that's secure in His love, but what will you do this week that will increase the security you have in His love? What is it that you will do to surrender your worries and cares to Him more? Now, I don't know if you remember, but I think it might have been last year, we looked at Psalm 23 quite a lot. And you can look at Psalm 23 in the NIV, in the Pew Bible if you want to, but I've got it here in the Message just because the Message is a bit different. Now, sometimes different we struggle with, but sometimes different is good. It sometimes opens our minds up to different ways of thinking. But something you might want to do this week is to sit with Psalm 23. Maybe read a verse a day over the next week and just sit with some of it and some of the promises that are there, the promises for you. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. And true to your word, you let me catch my breath. And you send me in the right direction. And even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And I want to encourage you this Christmas that God is enough. He is here and He brings peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the peace that this can bring. Lord, the message of Scripture is that you are in control of all things. You've got your hand on all things. And even the things that worry and concern us most, you have in hand. Lord, help us to trust you. And over this week, Lord, help us just to grow in that sense of peace that comes from you that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen.